I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round one recap for this week's Masters. Joining me to break it all down, Patrick McDonald is here. Patrick, good evening. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your commitment to this pod. We were 15 minutes late. That was my fault.
I appreciate that, Rick. I appreciate the kind words. It was an early day for me, a long day. Had to get up and update those tee times for the website. Who would know when these guys are playing if it wasn't for me? So, one, you're welcome to everyone out there. And, guys, it was a great day today, I thought. It was a great day.
Don't say it. You'll have to pay a royalty.
It was a great day. It was a great day.
To Greg Ducharme. Hello, Greg.
But what's going on, boys? It was a great day, Patrick. And you can't say that. You just have to pay me. So go ahead. Use it up. I get it. But phenomenal day of golf. So happy. I mean, we got a lot more in than I expected. I was worried today was going to be pretty close to a wash. And we were going to be spending tonight talking about, you know, nine holes. But we got a lot of golf in. There's a lot of rounds in. And this tournament's starting to take shape.
It really is. So the 2.5 hour rain delay this morning was actually, as Greg mentioned, a little bit better than we anticipated. The original kind of thought process going around yesterday was that we were going to be able to start on Thursday sometime between 12 and 2. We actually got out on the golf course at 12:30. So while round one is not complete, we are definitely farther along than we would have expected. So that's good. Patrick, I was trying to run the quick math as we were driving back from the golf course. I think that it is likely we are back on track tomorrow night. Does that seem feasible to you?
Yeah. I mean, they're running round two tee times simultaneously when these guys are on the golf course. And I think the final group's probably on 11 green because Jordan Spieth, his first shot coming out, I think he was the penultimate group. Maybe it was the last one. I don't know. But his first shot in the morning, in the restart, number 12, the tee ball. So you know he's going to get a good night's sleep. And the rain missed you guys because it hit me here in Charleston. It was dumping all day. A little flood damage with my car. I'm gonna not to make it about me, but yeah, I think you guys skirted it all. You guys are having all the fun. I'm so happy for everyone at Augusta National. And by tomorrow we should be all caught up.
Well, yes, the storm rolled in and it said, hey, do you want us to go to Charleston instead? And we said, yes, please go see Patrick. And that's exactly what Mother Nature did. And we got off to a quick start out of the gate, Greg. When this
thing finally got underway. A former champion made a lot of noise early. Danny Willett, a 4-under 68. And this was a little bit out of left field for a lot of reasons. We have not seen Danny Willett play since September, BMW PGA Championship. He underwent a shoulder surgery. He's back, depending on who you ask, 6 months early, a year early. I don't know what his body is made of, but he has fixed himself, and now he's 4-under par in round one of the Masters.
Yeah, it's working. So I don't know if they put metal in there to keep him on playing or something, but it's definitely working. He hit some great iron shots. You know, you think before this tournament, if Danny Willett's in the mix, especially on a day like today, you're thinking, well, Danny Willett filled it up on the greens, which he did, but getting up and down from everywhere, scrambling like crazy. But it wasn't really the case. I mean, he hit some really high quality iron shots and made some really easy birdies. I mean, he had 5 feet at 3. He knocked it on there in 2, took advantage of 15, knocked that one on in 2. And on, you know, the nice putts he made was 1 and 18, but those were like 17 footers. He gave himself good looks and poured them in. So this was a really high quality round, and it didn't seem as fluky as you might think if Danny Willett, coming off a shoulder surgery, is right up there near the top of the leaderboard.
Well, if you thought Danny Willett was shot out of a cannon, let me introduce you, Patrick, to Ryan Fox, who made birdie on 1, birdie on 2, birdie on 3, eagle on 8. We looked up at the leaderboard. They manually removed that blank spot. They put a red 5 under par on number 8 for Ryan Fox. And then I heard it through the gallery. Who is Fox? Yeah, that was going through the patronage at Augusta National. They all quickly referred to their programs. Oh, Ryan Fox, he's from New Zealand. That was the extent of the knowledge that was shared around there. Fox entered this week missing 5 of his last 8 cuts. He did give a couple of strokes back coming in, including one on the par 5, 13th, in which he found a little bit of a water ball situation. But Ryan Fox cards a 69 when the dust settles.
The real sickos would have been asking if it is Stephen Fox, the former U.S. amateur champion from way back in the day. I believe he went to Chattanooga.
I can assure you not a single person asked if it was Stephen Fox.
Only amateur status would know that.
They're out there. They're out there. Trust me. But yeah, Ryan Fox can get, like, he can catch lightning in a bottle with the best of them. Obviously, I mean, he has the BMW PGA Championship under his belt. The guy can win. But remember, he went 3-1 at the Players Championship. Is that correct? He went eagle hole in 1.
16 and 17.
On 16 and 17. And then first person to do that. And then I believe a little Masters history today.
It was.
3 guys going birdie, birdie, birdie to start as well. And so we'll get to a couple other guys, I'm sure, who did that. And so, yeah, really good front 9. Which was actually playing more difficult, I think, which does not pass my eye test, to tell you the truth, but it was. Played a little under par. Back 9 played a stroke over par. And it was actually a pretty good bogey there on 13 after hitting it in the water. Made a really nice putt. So 3-under right in the mix. Hits it a mile. Can putt the lights out of the ball. Really just depends on the iron play if it can hold up over the next 3 days.
Speaking of hitting it a mile, speaking of making birdies on 1, 2, and 3, let me introduce you guys to someone named Bryson DeChambeau. I am not sure if you have heard of him. He tends to make waves on the YouTube, and he is also leading the Masters. Because Bryson not only made birdies on 1, 2, and 3, but how about this finish, Greg? 12, 13, 15, 16, 17, all birdies, as you know, were following along with the manual scorecards, and they just kept putting deeper and deeper numbers. The rumblings were going through the crowd. Oh, Bryson, he made another. Oh, he did it again at 6. Oh, he did it at 17. Bryson cards a 7-under 64. 5. And here we go. The Masters has officially begun.
Yeah, this was quite a round for him. And it's the first time that we've seen Bryson really take advantage of his distance here. It's the first time we've seen him make the golf course look like, as he said, and has definitely backtracked on, that this is a par 67. I mean, you think about the tee shot that he hit at 1 was enormous, and he's spinning it back off, spinning it back into that green, into that hole location, leaving himself an easy birdie. And it was really short birdie putts at 1, 2, and 3. And he did make a couple of really nice long putts. He led the field in strokes gained putting in round 1, even though it's not complete yet. He's leading at the end of the day, and his driver was an absolute weapon today. He hit some really high quality iron shots, and I also heard that he's designed his own set of irons that actually have a mm-hmm. face like a wood face, as in there's some curve to them, so they have bulge and roll, which adds forgiveness. And you see Bryson today hitting 15 of 18 greens. That could be an issue for the rest of the field.
Well, I was quite bullish, Patrick, on Bryson DeChambeau coming into the week, but in no way did I think he was going to go out and shoot a 65 around Augusta National on Thursday. The tone was very different. Greg mentioned and reminded us of the par 67 comment he has made. Remember, he was saying, I'm going to take these angles that no one has ever taken. I'm going to play from different positions. I'm going to break Augusta National, essentially. Today's comments were closer to, you have to play from the right positions. You have to take what the golf course is going to give you. All the stuff that people have tried to tell Bryson over the last 7 or 8 years to not much success at this golf course, he seemed to be buying into it. And this was an excellent, impressive, very strong 65 out of the gates.
It was just a great reminder that any major championship with Bryson DeChambeau, any tournament with Bryson DeChambeau, like big time, like the Memorial back in the day, with him involved, just awesome. He's such a showman. He walked up the 18th hole there, waving his cap off like it was Sunday. He's more or less telling everyone else in the field, I mean, he's not actually, but in my mind, he's like, it's over, fellas. I'm taking home that green jacket. And it was kind of clinical, to tell you the truth. It was very, very impressive. Hit the ball great, found a lot of fairways, found a lot of greens. Those new irons with the bulge and the curve, good for Bryson. But yeah, he sounds like a more, he just said he's older. You know, he's 30 now. Someone asked him if he idolizes any YouTube creators. He said, I respect them. I don't idolize anyone but God. I love God. So there's a potential for a little bit of a God off this weekend between Scotty and Bryson. Who does God love more? I guess we'll find out and see. But it's great to see Bryson DeChambeau. He's like one of my favorite golfers just to watch, because it could be dumb, it could be unbelievable like today, it could be both at the same time. And he is just one of those guys who is a pure entertainer. That's why he's so popular on the YouTube and on the Snapchat. He was saying patrons were coming up to him today saying that they love his Snapchat. And so it's great for golf, and it's great to see him back in the mix and play well.
I was hoping he was going to say his favorite creator was Rick Rungood. He did not say that. He said...
He mentioned Mr. Beast. He mentioned Dude Perfect, because remember the video they shot at Augusta National playing with the pool. All the different sports. Rick, let me do a quick control.
Control F just to be sure. You know, I don't nothing.
Oh, and but the analytics guru Rick Rungood. I watch his weekly previews.
There you go.
Get a sense of the courses.
That's there's a new ad for Rick Rungood. Okay, great. Well, listen, it was a lot of fun. Bryson, he was coming up 18 just as the Scotty Scheffler, Rory McIlroy group was going out on 10. He definitely got the better end of the conditions, but nonetheless, an impressive 65. We're going to continue this conversation. There's a lot more to get to, obviously, because it's the Masters. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order, plus free shipping. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
And we are back. It wouldn't be a major championship without Will Zalatoris in the mix. And Greg, that's exactly what we have. A 2-under 70, a little bit of a logjam there. Big group of golfers at T9. And Zalatoris is one of them. A birdie on number 2, another on number 8. He did add an eagle on 13. This was deeper under par. He did give 2 back on 17 and 18. So the infamous could have been a couple shots lower, left a couple out there, but it's a major championship and Zalatoris is right in the thick of it.
Yeah, I really like the way that he played the par fives today, taking advantage of 2 and 8, and then obviously making that really nice eagle at 13. That shot was so good in there. But Will Zalatoris looks really good. His ball striking looks the way it always has in major championships. When you look at what he does around the greens, he's extremely creative. And I think of him as a guy traditionally who could put a lot of spin on the ball with his short game shots, but he played a number of shots today where he kind of rolled the face over and played releasing shots. One of them actually was at number 5 where it went over the green and then he chips in for par. So that was a really nice highlight as well. And he said after the round that he hit 10 perfect shots on the last 2 holes and ends up with 2 bogeys. So I think the blustery conditions got Will a little bit.
The weather app that we were using, which is quite accurate, had those gusts in the afternoon going up to 39 miles an hour. We saw a lot of guys backing off their golf ball. Kyle Porter, as we were walking around, said, quote, "This is the windiest I've ever seen this place." And he's been here for much longer than I have. So that is from the mouth of KP himself. Zalatoris, Patrick, I did the math. 9 loops around Augusta National for the Masters. He has been inside the top 14 after every single one of those rounds. So this is what I would define as a staple at the top of the board.
So he came into the week, obviously super small sample size. I think his strokes gained total per round was like 3.8.
Yeah, something crazy.
So technically his performance of he was just a shade over 3 today. It's going to unfortunately bring that down. Bring him down.
It's like when you're batting 400 and you go 1 for 3 and it's like, well, you're batting. Yeah. It's coming down.
Yeah. I mean, there's just something in the water, I guess. I mean, it's a great golf course for him in general, and difficult putting surfaces help out guys who, like, if the good putters are going to struggle, that means like every putter is going to struggle, and that helps out a guy like Will Zalatoris. And he has figured out these greens. throughout the years, you know, to his respect, and it's just everything comes together for him at this one venue. And so, yeah, the more difficult, the more baked out, the windier it gets. I love Will Zalatoris just because, like Greg said, he has that ball striking, but he is someone who has the creativity to potentially match the big name who's running number two right now.
One thing on his putting. I agree with you, Patrick. I think you've seen a lot of guys win the Masters that aren't necessarily great putters. But there's a specific element that is critical here, because you can look like a complete fool. But if you have great speed control, you can eliminate the three putts. And that's what Will Zalatoris has. So while he doesn't fill it up and make everything he looks at, he doesn't run the ball by the hole or come up woefully short. He has really good touch. The thing is, just on some of those short putts, we've seen some shaky strokes, which I think the broomstick helps with that. But he's not a Jordan Spieth type putter, a Ben Crenshaw type putter, but he has very good touch. And I think that's one of the reasons why he has so much success here.
Talking about the weather, I will put on my meteorologist cap and I will tell you guys, the rain is gone, seemingly for the rest of the week. Goodbye rain, hello sunshine, and the wind will be sticking around. So it'll be a little bit cooler tomorrow, high around 70, 71. That's good for me. It got a little too warm for me. The wind gusts. So we're looking at about 18 sustained gusts in the morning, 29, 31. Afternoon, yeah, baby, 37. How about at 5 o'clock, 44. They'll probably play till sunset again, 43 gusts. We saw a lot of guys backing off shots, like I said earlier. So could be a little fun tomorrow. Could be a little exciting.
And you look at the split so far, 0.6 over par for the morning, 1.35 in the afternoon. So if it levels out, that's great for the guys on the golf course, like, you know, eventual winner Jordan Spieth.
Okay. I will let that go for now. I will circle back on that in just a little bit. And I'll get to another guy sitting at 2 under par. What? Joaquin Niemann, Greg, was one of the more difficult golfers to try to figure out heading into the week. Obviously, the 15 competitive rounds on LIV Golf and his strokes gain stats have been great. He's been playing a little bit on the Asian Tour. This was a fairly mediocre round for the majority of the day. One birdie on three, a double on five, a birdie on eight. So he's even through 11. He's one over through 12. Then he rallies a little bit with birdies on 13, 15, and 17 to get this thing under par. Two, in fact, and that is plenty good on a day when, as Patrick told us, the scoring average was what, stroke and a third over par, something like that?
Just about stroke.
It was a good day. You know, he and Bryson were the only two players to hit, well, who have finished round one. They were the only players to hit 15 greens of regulation. So you watch Joaquin's round and it's boring. And that's exactly what you want. The one mistake, five, he just made a mess of five. He missed it short right, which, I mean, I'm sure half the field did. I would love to see the plot chart at number five from round one, because everybody was in that front right portion. And he was one of the few guys I saw that didn't get it all the way up the ridge and then three putted from there. So, you know, a bogey was acceptable there. The double was really tough. But other than that, this was just a really clean round of golf. He didn't make any mistakes. He didn't really hit it out of position. He took advantage of the par fives, with the exception of number two, and hit a great shot into 17 to add a nice little bonus there. So it was really, really solid out of Joaquin.
This was the sleeper of the LIV guys for me, Patrick. You know, there was a lot of conversation about Brooks Koepka. There was a lot of conversation around Jon Rahm. Niemann, I thought, was kind of the X factor. Didn't really know what to expect entirely. So far, so good for the Chilean.
Yeah, I mean, second in ball striking, third off the tee, third on approach. Has a little ways to go in terms of putting in around the green, but obviously on number five, he gives gives a stroke and a half between around the green and putting in that instance. And what I love about him, this like run he's been on, one, he's added a ton of distance, and two, he's added more shots to his bag. He used to be, you know, strictly a fader of a of the golf ball, but now he has this hook that he throws in every once in a while, and he gets it out there like deep, really deep.
He hit it over the green at three.
Really? I didn't even see that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He was the only guy I saw that, I don't know if it was the only guy to do it, but there were some guys in the left greenside bunker. Rory was like green high right. He chipped from long of the green.
Damn. I mean, his stat profile looks great for someone who could potentially make a run. Everything is green except putting. He's 69th, and around the green, he's 51st. And I mean, most of that bad stuff was all on five.
Oh boy. Okay. Joaquin Niemann might be primed for a run. The mega super group, Xander Schauffele, Rory McIlroy, and Scottie Scheffler. Let's start with Rory McIlroy. And it was a slow start for Rory. Par on one, bogey on two. That is not the way you want to play the first two holes. He does get it back at three, but gives it right back at four. So he's bouncing this thing around. And Greg, we'll start here with you. He did make a little bit of a rally here. Birdies on 8, 12, 14. He makes a bogey on 17, but it's a one under par. It is one of the better opening rounds at the Masters that he has had in the last few attempts. We've talked all week long about him staying within arm's reach of the leaderboard on Thursday, or of the top of the leaderboard. Did he do that? Is he within arm's reach?
Yes. Especially considering he played the par fives even par today. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's very unlike Rory McIlroy, and it's unacceptable, right? I mean, it's just not great. So that'll be really frustrating. But to shoot under par with a slow start, like you mentioned, and to play those par fives and even par, there's a lot left in the tank for Rory. Thought he was a little sloppy today, avoided the big mistake, which was big. But there's tons of things he can clean up. You look at the bogey at number two. I mean, he's got 100. He didn't hit a great tee shot, but he's got 100 yards for his third. There's no reason to be making bogey from there. You know, he hits it long at the green. So it's mistakes like that just need to get cleaned up. And I think there's room for that.
I don't know what it looked like, 4 feet or so on 16 for birdie that he missed after hitting a good shot in there. I think it was maybe four and a half feet, something like that. So Patrick, it was a lot like the rest of the rounds that we've seen from Rory in 2024. There was no big number this time, as Greg mentioned, but it seems like there were a lot of missed opportunities, but the floor being as high as it is keeps him under par and in this championship.
Yeah, he's got to be feeling pretty positive tonight, because like Greg said, I mean, the wedge play wasn't very good, you know, two obviously, but the chip on 17 was tough. Didn't really put a good roll on it. The putt on number four wasn't great either. And then the putt on 16 was horrible also. And you bring in the par five play and you're like, okay, this could have easily been something around 3-4 under perhaps. And you're right there. And so if he puts that round together, if he puts it all together tomorrow, he's right there 5 under with the conditions being very tough, with the wind being tough. You don't imagine he's great at projecting what it's going to take to win a golf tournament, Rory McIlroy is. And I don't think he gets the credit for that. He said it earlier in Dubai where he was like 10 back at the halfway point. And he's like, he said on Friday, if I get to 10 under, I'm going to win this golf tournament. The lead was 10 under. He won the golf tournament at 11 under. And so I think he has, you know, something like that in his mind where if he's able to get to like five-ish tomorrow, 4 or 5, put together something in the high 60s in tough conditions. I mean, the ball striking's there. The driver looks good. It's just really some short game cleanup. He's probably thinking the lead's going to get out to what? Maybe 8-ish, like 8-9. And he's right there heading into the weekend. So I think that's what he's probably thinking to himself, but he's got to clean it up a little bit.
Well, he also on that, Patrick, he knows he's going to know what the lead is, right? Because he's playing alongside Scottie Scheffler. And I'm not trying to sell Bryson short, but Bryson will be, Bryson goes after them. Okay. But you have a great idea when you're playing right alongside Scottie Scheffler, what that lead or what something around the lead is going to be.
That's a good point.
So I think that helps.
We're going to talk about that Scottie Scheffler guy, the number one player in the world who had a very, very, very squeaky, clean scorecard around Augusta National on Thursday. We're going to look at some other notables, like maybe, I don't know, Tiger Woods, ever heard of him? We'll set you up for tomorrow and the betting favorites. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there. And I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left, look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And we're back. The number one player in the world, the 2022 Masters champion. His name is Scottie Scheffler, and he got through Augusta National on Thursday without a single bogey on the card. It was a 66, Patrick. It was pretty darn splendid. Birdies on 2, 6, and then he rattles them off on the back nine, 12, 13, 15, 16. Another Scotty round in 2024, and he is one shot off of Bryson DeChambeau's lead.
Yeah, there's nothing else I feel like we can say about this guy. To go around bogey free, go around Augusta National without dropping a shot today is ludicrous. It is not lost on me. He got lucky on number 13. His second shot easily could have found Ray's Creek. He even thought it found the water when he was walking up to it, got lucky, but he took advantage of the break. And that is what winners do. You get a break, you know what you do, you take advantage of it. And he did just that. And then on 15, I don't know if you could hear it, but you could hear him say something on the live stream on the Masters, like a, oh no. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, what is he going to do? The ball's in the air. He like almost makes it. And then after his round, he tells SVP, he goes, I pulled it like just a hair. And for his first reaction to be, oh no. And for it to what, settle 15, 20 feet away from the pin for eagle, just shows you how dialed in he is. But we kind of got it all from him today. We saw the driver. We saw the iron play. We saw the hands around the green. And it's why he's the best player in the world.
Well, I sat in the interview afterwards, Greg, and he pointed out a couple of things. He pointed out the three birdies that he made on the par fives, which is what you have to do around Augusta National. And he pointed out the three birdies that he made on the par threes. He played every single par four at even par. He made a par on all of them. He only had 1 5 on the card, actually, for this Thursday. And he said himself, there's a little bit of stealing on the par threes. And if Scottie Scheffler is stealing strokes, a guy who does not need a leg up on the field, I worry about the rest of this field.
You know, it's a rare thing where Scottie Scheffler plays a round of golf and you feel like he shot a lower score than he should have. It almost never happens. You know, almost every single round of golf he plays, you feel like, well, it probably should have been 64 and it was 69, you know, or 66. This one felt like it probably should have been 69 and it was 66. But it's a great sign. I mean, you love what you see with the putter. Like the putt at six was great. That's a little bit of a bonus. I mean, it's a mid-range putt. Some of those you would think go in. That one did for him. Patrick mentioned the prayer being answered at number 13. And there's also the whole bunker shot at 12.
Yeah.
Right? So amen corner, which... I mean, for the way that it's named, you would think there'd be a little more success there. Normally, it's prayers not being answered or in amen corner. But for Scottie today, they were. And that's that's the kind of thing you need in these types of conditions. You need a little bit of help. You need a little bit of luck. And it's not a lucky shot at 12, but the fact that it goes in, it's hard to count on that. 13 is flat out lucky. I was absolutely stunned when I saw him chipping from there. It's like, wait, why would he drop there? And I was like, wait, that stayed up. It didn't land on the green, right? It landed there. It's meant to be.
Oh, it might just be meant to be. There's still a lot of golf to be played. Still 54 and honestly plus holes for some guys. I was going to ask a question, Patrick, in the presser. There actually was surprisingly not a lot of people there. And I was going to ask a question.
What was it going
to
be?
I don't know. I didn't know what to ask. That's why I didn't ask. Do you have any tips? Should we crowdsource one? Do we have any like good things in the chat? What could I ask him?
Hey, Scotty, what are you going to do tonight?
Yeah,
that's a big one.
That's a big one.
I kind of always feel it out, and then like I'm like I look around, I'm like, oh, like give someone a look, like that's a horrible question. What are you doing? And I'm like, it's like if I don't like him, I'm like I'm gonna ask one just so it's better than that one. I don't know though. Like I wasn't in there. I didn't know what was going on. So
you can ask him when's the last time you miss hit a shot.
Yeah, I was nervous. I didn't do anything. I just sat on my hands and made sure no one looked at me.
Do they pass around a mic there, or does everyone have a mic?
Everyone has a mic, and it comes on. It like I don't know how they know. It's like
UN.
It comes on for you, and it lights up. Oh, Patrick has the bubble. What'd you do?
I said the UN. I don't know, but it's like the UN.
So then it lights up red. So the player knows who's talking and then you know your mic's hot. And then basically as soon as you're done asking a question, like it turns off.
I love how everyone always like, hey, Scotty, yeah. How you doing? Scotty's like, who the hell are you?
Boy. Well. Here is the situation that we have for those who are done. Bryson DeChambeau, 65. That is 7 under. Scottie Scheffler, 1 shot back. That is a 66. They are 2 clear of the next closest guy in the clubhouse, Danny Willett, at 4 under. And then the threes are just Ryan Fox and Cam Davis. Now, there are guys still out on the golf course, and that's going to be the story early on Friday. We've got to finish round number one, and we are going to flip this darn thing right around and get to round number two. The biggest name that has to finish their round is unequivocally Tiger Woods, who has played 13 holes at the Masters and, to my shock, is one under par.
Good.
And Greg, it was pretty good. I'm impressed. He held the thing together. He hit a couple of nice pitch shots and chip shots that I thought might be a little bit rusty. He sprayed one on 13 late in his round, got out of there with a par. I mean, I am very bearish on Tiger this week. I actually didn't think he was going to make the cut. He played through 13 holes. Very good golf.
He played great golf. And in fact, the one thing that I was so worried about as well, just like you, is that that competitive rust around the greens. And if he showed us a short game performance like he did at Riviera, or like he did last year in the Masters, or in a couple of rounds in the last few Masters, this would have been a disaster, a complete disaster. But he's able to get up and down from just about everywhere. I mean, the up and down at number 12 was ridiculous. That's absurd. The one at 11 was maybe even better, you know, because it was less unique, right? It's in the fairway off an uneven lie. He's got to nip it just perfectly, and he does, stops it on a dime. He got up and down from a couple of bunkers. Like number 7 was a kick in par from a bunker after an errant tee shot. So yeah, that area of his game was really sharp. The putter from close range was really sharp. The big question is, can he get enough out of his tee to green performance to keep this going? But I feel a lot better about him needing a better tee to green performance than I do about the short game rust. So this was the strategy coming together, if you will, for Tiger.
Five holes to go, Patrick. Five holes and then a quick turnaround. Josh, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe they are restarting tomorrow 7:45, something in that ballpark. Does that sound
right? 7:50.
Close enough. Seven in the ballpark. Jeez.
Different time zone there.
Really tough crowd around here. Okay, so 7:50, they will, and not a moment earlier, they will get started. And Patrick, Tiger Woods is going to play those five, and he's going to go back out and play another 18. It's the right amount where I'd be worried if it was 30 or 35 that he had to play. 23 is not that much more than 18. Maybe it's good that he can just keep the thing rolling. He doesn't have to get cooled down, get warmed up again. It's just, maybe he just keeps this vibing for a while.
Yeah, 24 holes so far this year coming into the week, and he's going to have to play 23 all of tomorrow. And I think short game was disgusting. Just all the par saves coming in, the entire second nine was just filthy. But for him... Man,
I forgot about 10.
10, yeah. That was his worst iron swing of the day. Just completely flared, short-sighted himself. I'm like, there's no way he's making par here. Boom, 6-footer in the heart. That was dumb. But he needs to just take advantage of the holes you're supposed to. On number 2, he's in jail left, has to swing left-handed, doesn't make birdie there. 13, he's up in the pine straws as well, doesn't make birdie there around Amen Corner. So for me, I would love for him to birdie 15. I know there's some tough holes coming in with 17 and 18. It's okay if he drops one, but for him to get one on 15 and put a good strike on an iron on 16, which is a pin players have been getting access to, it's one of the easier holes on the back nine. So those two holes in particular, I think if he plays well, then Rick, you're right. Why not? Why can't he roll that momentum over? But at the same time, we've seen a lot of good round one performances from Tiger Woods in this stage of his career, and a lot of like ugly round two performances. So I am still a little bearish just because we've kind of gone down this road for the past couple years and it hasn't been pretty all the time.
And round one isn't finished.
Yeah.
I want to know if he's going to make the cut when he's done, right? I either want him to be at one under and firmly inside the cut line after he finishes round two, or way out of it. I do not want the entire afternoon to be a Tiger sweat scoring, you know, sweating every score that comes in to see if Tiger is going to make the cut and break the record.
I'd agree. Hopefully I'm JT doesn't have to bogey the last three holes again, so he makes the cut.
We shall see. Other notables still out on the golf course. So these are not official rounds just yet, but Max Homa, 4 under through 13. And Greg, there's only one blemish on this card, a bogey that he made on number 12. He's got 5 circles, and we know the struggles that Max has had at major championships in his career. He is trying to put together one of his best career finishes, and he's got a little bit of work to do in round one. And then, like we said, right back out for round number two.
So obviously, like you said, not done with round one, but he is second behind only Bryson in strokes gained putting. And we haven't seen a Max Homa putting performance like this in a major championship. It looks easy for him. It looks calm. He looks fired up. And he's finally got some momentum going the right way. You know, we've spent a lot of time talking about how he's been leaning on his improved short game and improved putting. And he's doing that today. But at the same time, he's playing enough offense. And he's swinging beautifully. It looks like he's made a little adjustment. If you watch him pre-swing, he's adding a little bit more waist bend. Like he's actually, you can see him bend over like a little bit more. And I think that's helping him out with his swing plan and his arm flow, because it tends to get a little bit low. So I'm not sure. I haven't heard anything about that specifically, but that's what it looks like to me. And it's working. And he's got some good momentum going. And I think that's... you know, it's something we haven't really seen a whole lot of out of Max Homa. So this is really exciting.
Even better than Max at 4 under is Nikolai Højgaard. Young Nikolai, Patrick, 5 under par. He has played 15 holes. It's been a little bit of a roller coaster. He's got, 7 birdies, 2 bogeys. He went through a stretch. Here's the last 5 holes that he played on Thursday. Birdie, 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 bogey, birdie. So yeah, maybe he does need to take a little break, get some sleep, and see what happens on Friday morning. But here we've got a Ryder Cupper, a guy who won a big event in Dubai at the end of last year, and he's got a chance to post a very, very good first round.
A debutant as well. And that one bogey, Rick, they just flashed to him. In the coverage, he's just directly behind a tree. So he had to pitch out sideways. So pretty good, pretty decent bogey, all things considered. But this guy has so much game. We saw it a little bit here in the United States at Torrey Pines, which, you know, there's some crossover there. Big, big golf course. You got to hit the driver well. Certainly you have to do the same here. Although he wasn't, you know, great outside 14, of course. But yeah, great driver of the golf ball, typically a good putter and a really good wedge player typically. So we saw him at the Ryder Cup have his moments. Like there were moments when he was paired with John Rahm, when he was carrying John Rahm, when they were just routing the US side. And so he's got all the game in the world. He's got all the confidence from that Ryder Cup, winning the DP World Tour Championship as well. And so, yeah, I mean, is it surprising? Probably. First time at the Masters, what is he, 21 now? Probably wouldn't put too much stock in him, but at the same time, it's like we know this guy is a really good golfer. So it'll be interesting to see how he finishes off that that first round, especially with the difficult stretch there.
4 notables. Open this up a little bit here. We can go in any direction that you guys want. We've got Justin Thomas. He finished even par 72. That's currently a tie for 32nd. Brooks Koepka is even par through 11 holes. John Rahm is 1 over. He is done. That was a 73. And then Jordan Spieth has a lot of golf to play and a lot of good golf to get back into this that he's going to need to play. He is 2 over through 11. Greg, any of those tickle your fancy?
Well, I think it's only fair if we hear, I guess we got to talk about the winner, right, Patrick? We can't leave Jordan Spieth off of this.
Good point.
Off of this list. So, I mean, how is he going to get back in and win this thing?
Real quick, he made double on the very first hole. He made a 5 on number 5. So he was 3 over through his first five holes, Patrick. He clawed one back. A lot of work to do.
Yeah, it was brutal. I'm pretty sure they panned from his stubbed chip on one to Scottie Scheffler making his bunker shot on 12. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, gosh, this is going to be a really long day, isn't it? And then he does it birdie two, and it's like things are moving fast for us already. But there are a couple really good iron swings in there. The pin on nine, the back, you knew if a guy was hitting his irons well, if he accessed that pin. Because that's a really tough pin to get to. And we saw guys like Tommy Fleetwood get into it. We saw guys like Max Homa. You know, Homa hit another great one on five as well, made birdie there. I saw Spieth get into it. I was like, this is going to be great. He's going to go on this. He's going to make this putt, go on this second nine charge. Missed the putt. But the point being, he can make anything from a two to a five on number 12 tomorrow. If it is a two, he's in this ball game. If it is a five, I will unstar him on my Masters app. I'll leave it that. Wow. I'll leave it there.
You can unstar him right now. Greg, do you want to get you want to get involved in this, or you want to get involved in somebody else?
Yeah, I want to get in. I mean, he's hit every single fairway.
He's driving it great.
There's some there, but what's going on with his short game?
I don't know. He might be.
He might be what? Know. Finish that sentence.
I was gonna say a Y word. A little yippy.
He's getting the yips?
No, I don't think so. It just he looks like a little. He looks like he's thinking a lot over it. And Jordan Spieth does not do that.
No, never in his career. I mean, things have gone up and down in his career. Different areas of his game. Short game has been the one constant. And it's been terrible. It was terrible in Florida. And it's been terrible today. I mean, he's losing. He's two over through 11. He's gaining a shot, 0.98 off the tee. And he's two over. You tell me Jordan Spieth is through 11 holes gaining a shot off the tee at Augusta National. He's five under through 11.
I wish, man. I wish.
It's not pretty. The other thing that was not pretty were a couple of the outfits for today. Patrick, I think you're our resident fashion expert. Josh, do we have any photos of these guys, or are we just okay? I think we do. This is Sergio Garcia.
What's wrong with that?
He is wearing, I guess it's festive. He's wearing the Augusta, you know, green and gold. It is maybe not the exact hues and maybe a little bright for someone of Sergio's age, but I'll defer to Patrick here. What do you think?
I love it when you have the bag. So he used his bag as like a really cool accessory, and that one's bright red. And so he pretty much was a stoplight. He had red, yellow, and green. I think that's what he was going for, to tell you the truth.
And that stoplight would symbolize
maybe the world of golf, right?
Okay, sure, yeah, why not? I mean, we're this deep in it, sure, why not?
Who we got next? Who's next? J-Day,
I think.
Oh, yeah.
This is these are are they just considered baggy pants from Jason?
No, they're those are one size fits all. They're flex fit.
Have you guys ever gone into like one of those costumes that can inflate, like a sumo, like Halloween costume? I think it's one of those, but the inflator broke.
My favorite thing about those is I really think they have an elastic waist. They don't, those don't, you don't need, you don't need a belt with those.
He slapped a belt on him anyway. Yeah. I thought, I wish we could. I don't know if we could zoom in. Is that it almost looks like a cargo pant pocket. Is that just a different shade? What is that?
No, that looks like a pocket.
Yeah. Is it a pocket?
I don't know if he has his yardage book in there. I don't know if it's mesh.
Could you imagine if he whipped his yardage book out of that thing?
Or like an eraser or something? A pencil sharpener?
Have you guys noticed with Jason Day, he holds his sunglasses in his back pants? like just he throws one of the side parts in it and then it just dangles.
So it, does he put it into his pocket or into his waistband?
His back pocket.
That's cool. What is that?
I thought they were just rain pants at the beginning. It's like, oh, he just thought it was going to rain all day and he forgot
to. Yeah, you can pants. See the elastic. You can see the elastic. They are elastic with belt loops. Why would you? Okay. Did they custom stitch the belt loops on for him knowing he has to wear a belt? Because they wouldn't sell these like that because that wouldn't make any sense. Why would you need a belt with elastic pants?
I don't know. I think I might be in on these in general.
Of course you are.
I'm pumped for tomorrow.
Why?
Because
have you seen his fit for tomorrow?
Yeah, I have the scripting. He's wearing a like a cigarette sweater vest, pretty much.
A what? Oh boy. It looks like it says Marlboro, not Malbon.
Yeah.
What have they done to our Jason Day?
Our sweet boy. He murdered him.
The betting favorites are available, Josh. Is that true? It is. And one Scottie Scheffler, who opened the week as a historically short favorite, 4-1. To win the Masters is now shorter, 140. That's put down 140, or excuse me, put down 100, win 140, 1.4-1. Bryson DeChambeau right in line, 5.5-1. Then a big gap. Max Homa is 16-1. Rory McIlroy is 18-1. Ludwig, hadn't mentioned him yet, 22-1. Hatton at 25. A lot of love still for Brooks Koepka. Holes to play. Maybe that's the hope there. 28-1 and Joaquin Niemann at 33. So by my count, that is 1, 2, 3, 4 live golfers. Four. Is that right? Am I counting right? 4 PGA Tour golfers. Ooh, spooky. Those are the outs.
Greg, who you like?
Anything you like, Greg?
Well, hopefully you got your Scottie Scheffler fix already. So if we're looking to make some donations, I think that the next guy that I would be very interested in, I was thinking Koepka. I'm surprised he's on this board. If he was way long, he would still be a good option. But Will Zalatoris. Will Zalatoris.
40-1.
Oh, he's at 30.
Josh tells me 40.
40. Okay. So I think that's fine. He's very much in the mix. Also, Patrick Reed threw 14 at 2 under par. I don't think he's going to win. But I'm very interested in him in these kind of difficult conditions. So those would be two other guys other than Scotty. I love what Ludwig's done. I watched his round today. He's only through 11 holes as well. He's 2 under. He's special.
He is special. I think Neiman's kind of live.
Ooh, Rick, the heel turn. How could you?
I know.
He is the number one player in the world in some corners.
In some opinions, he's the number one player in the world. And he is putting together a good stat profile. He's doing it very on brand, what he's done all 2024. I think it's a decent golf course for him. Listen, everybody has a Scottie Scheffler problem right now. Everybody's got a Scottie Scheffler problem right now. And I'm like kind of certain Scottie's going to win this right now.
Yeah, I think, dude, I love P. Reed, Greg. I like that call. What about... So Koepka 28, he's pretty much in for par on 12. He marked like a 1 footer.
Nice.
I wasn't sure why, but that was the last shot I saw. So
he wants to start his day with an easy win.
Yeah. It's so
an extra walk across Hogan Bridge.
He could go on a run where he shoots 69 and this number is in half. I would say what's Jordan Spieth at? No. I'm kidding. I'm just playing. I'm just playing.
What is
Xander Schauffele at even par?
Spieth is 75-1. Xander is 50.
Wow.
What is Patrick Cantlay?
Patrick Cantlay, Patty Ice, 75.
Finau in the same range as Cantlay.
Rahm is 60. Finau is 80 to 1.
Ooh. Finau and Cantlay striped it today with their
irons. Finau was grinding on the putting green after, like, in the dark.
Yeah, he lost a shot and a half on the greens. But number one in the field right now in strokes gained approach, Patrick Cantlay. Number two, Tony Finau. Number three, Joaquin Neiman.
Yeah,
number four, Scottie Scheffler.
Neiman will finish. Will finish second.
Ooh,
in the tournament.
Yeah, can I put like an exacta in?
Yeah, you should do that.
1-2, Scottie Neiman.
Yeah.
So you got Neiman as low live. He's going to track down Bryson.
Low live. Yeah. Bryson's he's already looked at the sun. He might be flying too close to the sun. I think he comes back to earth a little bit.
I don't know. I don't mind the 5.5 on Bryson. That's like not horrible for a guy of his caliber, and he's winning. I know Scotty's right there.
Bryson looked really good.
I'm gonna go Xander 50-1. That's my final bet.
Congrats.
Watch out, people.
Anything else, guys? Day one, not round one, in the books. Is there anything else that needs to be discussed? I only ate 9 cookies today. I'm going to try to wean myself off. I'll go for 6 tomorrow.
I think you can do that.
What about
you're saying take the over?
I'm saying take the over.
What about Wyndham Clark saying, yeah, he's got a chance. Live guys only play 54 holes. But you look at his win, the AT&T Pebble Beach, and it was only 54 holes.
I just need 1 ounce of self-awareness, right? Like, anybody else could get away with saying that. It would be stupid, but anybody else could get away with saying that. Of course, the guy who won the 54 hole event and like it was handed to him after play was suspended is making the jab here. It's just like, you must know that is going to come back and make you look stupid.
There's just no, this is exactly what Bryson did with the par 67 comment.
Yeah, right? There's no upside to this.
It's just a terrible, terrible play. Now all of a sudden there's an unnecessary attention on you.
It's not even like that. The Wyndham comment is going to age poorly in a year. It ages poorly immediately, one second after it comes out of his mouth.
He lost to Bryson by 9 today, or by 8 today.
God, I just don't know, man. These guys.
And like you said, I could go and do that tomorrow. You could say that, but you don't have to like discredit their. I mean, one of the LIV players won a major last year. You don't need to do that.
It's awesome. I think he's becoming a villain between the caddy stuff, between the grass stuff. And I've heard villainous tales. I've heard villainous tales.
Yeah, I could see that. He's like a borderline, like the dude's on the verge of trapping at all times.
I don't know if he treats wait staff well. I'll just put that out there.
Are you?
I don't like that.
I never know if you're like making that up or if like someone has told you a story witnessed it in your life.
I have, on good authority, I have heard multiple accounts.
That's too bad.
That's too bad.
I can play.
All right. Well, that's a great note to end on. We will be back. So first off, you guys did a great job on First Cut today. So we got.
So did you.
Well, thank you. We did 2 First Cuts today, basically. And we are going to do. Are you guys both on again tomorrow?
I think so.
I think so, too. So we are going to do another live first cut kind of midday-ish with Moose, you guys, Kyle, I think, is in the first block. I think I am in the last block. And then we will have those hits through. So that's 2 p.m. Eastern. Then we'll have the other HQ, Spotlight, all those hits. And then, of course, the post round, what you're watching right now, will happen again Friday night. So it is just first cut bonanza.
Galore.
Yeah. Just can't get enough of it.
And first everyone, cut. Everyone be nice to Joe.
Be nice to Joe.
Like, come on, guys.
Be nice to Joe.
He's a professional. He's a professional anchor. He's unbelievable.
Does a really great job.
I feel like I don't like I'm in single A ball compared to him.
I feel the same way. It's like let's do a podcast with Jim Nantz.
Joseph said they were nice to Joe. Okay, no, I do agree that. So the first time Joe hosted it was like 99-1. The comments were negative to positive. Now they're at least getting more even. Be nice to Joe. Plus it's extra, right? We're still doing the round by round stuff. It's all good. It's all part of the fam.
He mentioned it a few times too. It's stuck. Phoenix is stuck with him.
Yeah, I think it hurt us. I mean, it hurt all of our feelings. Yeah.
Yeah. So everyone be nice to Joe.
Be nice.
It could go a long way, right? Everyone love everyone.
And it's not out of pity. He's like a rock star.
Yeah, he's
he really needs this.
Yeah, he's like doing us a massive favor, like lowering himself to our like little pod.
Are you guys still doing that little podcast?
You guys still doing that thing? All right, I'll hop on and help. All right, we will be back. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Josh. Doing all the hard work behind the scenes. Patrick McDonald at P McDonald CBS. Greg Ducharme at The Real GFD. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.